Bibles with you this afternoon, I invite you to turn with us to the book of Mark, chapter number 10. The book of Mark, chapter number 10, and we'll read a very familiar passage of Scripture, one that you all know well, and give you a couple thoughts that the Lord gave to me this week out of this chapter. So if you're in Mark chapter 10 and you'd like to stand with us, we invite you to do that at this time, and we'll read verse 13 down through verse number 16, and then we'll pray and give you the thought that's on our heart. Mark chapter 10, verse number 13, the Bible says, "And they brought young children to him that he should touch them, and his disciples rebuked those that brought them. But when Jesus saw it, he was much displeased and said unto them, Suffer the little children to come unto me and forbid them not, for of such is the kingdom of God. Verily I say unto you, whosoever shall not receive the kingdom of God as a little child, he shall not enter therein. And he took them up in his arms, and put his hands upon them, and blessed them." Lord, we love you. We thank you for the opportunity that we have to be in your house tonight. Thank you, Lord, for the opportunity to preach, and I pray that you'd help us as we try and seek and endeavor to encourage the body of Christ. Lord, let us say that which is pleasing in your eyes, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. You can be seated. In Jewish culture, children were looked upon as a blessing from the Lord. In fact, in this time, for a Jewish couple to have a child was both a sorrow and even sometimes considered a disgrace. The psalmist said in Psalms 127 and verse 3, "Oh, children are an heritage of the Lord, and the fruit of the womb is his reward." And then the psalmist goes on to explain to us that children are like quivers of a man. And a man is blessed if he has his quiver full of those arrows or those children. Now, in our modern day society of Planned Parenthood, some people look down upon children and think of them as more of a burden than a blessing. Would you agree with that? Well, I tell you, we're living in dark days and we're living in demonic days when people consider that baby that is in their womb to be a burden and would rather take it to an abortion clinic than to give birth to that child. There are some couples that would shout for God to give them that blessing and then they throw it away. Disgrace that is. Therefore, because these Jews looked upon children as being a blessing from God, they would oftentimes bring those children to the rabbi so that the rabbi could place his hand upon the child and bless them. I thought about, you remember Joseph, there in the land of Egypt, and he had those two children, and he found out that his father, Jacob, was about to die. Remember the story, how that Joseph loaded his children up and he took them to where Jacob was so that Jacob could put his hand on Manasseh and Ephraim and he could pray for them before he died. You see, they were a blessing from God, children were, and so they wanted to bring their children and have them blessed of the Jewish rabbi. Now, therefore, it is no surprise that according to Matthew, Mark, and Luke, many couples at one point brought their children to Jesus so that he could put his hands on them and he could bless them. Matthew and Mark says they brought young children. Luke adds to that they even brought infants for Jesus to put his hands on them and bless them. I don't think I have to say this, but I'll say it in passing. Jesus was not going to pray over these children for salvation. He wasn't going to sprinkle them or baptize them, any of that mess. He was just going to pray for them, much like we do in our dedication services today. But as they're bringing these children to Christ, something very interesting happens. The Bible says when these parents begin to bring these young children to Jesus so that he can put his hand on them and so that he can bless them, the disciples begin to turn the children away. When Jesus sees the disciples do this, He rebukes them and he receives the children. According to verse number 16, of his busy schedule, and he gets those little kids up in his arms and he plays with them and he blessed them. This week I began to think about what Jesus was doing in our text. Oftentimes, I'm afraid that you and I, as adults, are much like these disciples. We think there's lots of things to do and many things to accomplish. And do we really have time for that vacation, Bible school, that youth outing, that you name it, that we do for the children? I believe, however, that Jesus was willing to take his time out of his schedule so that he could spend some time with the children. And therefore, it's important for you and me to do the same thing. This is an interesting title to a message, but this is what God gave me, so I'm going to give you what God gave me, and it'll just be what it is. I want to preach tonight on this thought: when Jesus had VBS. When Jesus had VBS. I believe that Jesus did what he did because he loved these children. He took time out of his life, probably one of the most busy men to ever live. Can you imagine being so busy that everywhere you went, crowds thronged you and wanted to touch you? They wanted a piece out of your time. He was a busy man with a full schedule, many people to minister to. But he said, you know what I think I'll do? I'll take some time out of my life and I'm going to spend it just ministering to a small child. He ministered to them, but when he ministered to them, he not only ministered to the children, but he taught three lessons to his disciples. I see three lessons in chapter number 10. I want to give them to you like this. I want you to see this. Number one, Jesus had VBS because the disciples needed to learn patience. The disciples needed to learn patience. Look at verse number 13. The Bible says, and they brought young children that he should touch them, and as his disciples rebuked those that brought them. But when Jesus saw it, he was much displeased and said unto them, suffer the little children to come unto me and forbid them not, for of such is the kingdom of God. When these children were brought to Jesus, the Bible says the disciples were angry and so upset that these parents would bring these children. Why in the world couldn't these parents realize that Jesus was busy? He had other things to do. And why can't these snotty-nosed kids just run off and scram? Jesus had more important things to do. That's the way the disciples looked at this. And I began to think this week, why would the disciples try to cause these children to get away, to scram, to not bother the master? Why would they do that? I thought about this. I thought, you know, they probably did it. The obvious reason is because they're hard of heart. Now, let me just say something right here, and y'all stick with me and like this message. I'm preaching on VBS, but you can say amen anyways, okay? It'll help me out. I didn't realize what was wrong with my message until I realized I didn't have my handkerchief out. But I've got it now. We're doing okay. This message is on the right track now, okay? So say amen every once in a while. Amen? Wow. It's a tough crowd tonight. I believe they were hard of heart. That's the obvious reason, right? Let me just say that anybody that thinks that they're too good, too busy to spend time with children, it's probably because they got a hard heart. Amen? That's exactly right. There'll be some people that a church will do something like what we're going to do next week, and they'll get angry about it. They'll get upset about it. Why? Why would you waste the church's time and resources and money on something as foolish as that? You've got a hard heart. That's the reason you think that. Amen? And if you want to come pray, you can come do that right now. You're not right with God. They had a hard heart. Amen? But I think the not-so-obvious answer is that they were trying to protect the time of the Lord. They thought that Jesus was so busy that he did not have time to waste on children. In other words, they did not consider children to be as important as everything else that Jesus had to do. When Jesus sees this and he sees that attitude, the Bible tells us that he became, and I quote, much displeased. That's what your King James Bible says. He was much displeased. And in his displeasure, the Bible says he openly rebuked the disciples in front of everybody. Can you imagine Jesus openly rebuking you in front of everybody? How embarrassing that must have been. But the Bible says Jesus had time for these children. These disciples had no right to turn them away. And he openly rebuked them for their attitude. Now, if you study the scriptures, you'll find out something pretty interesting. You'll find out that this was not the first time the disciples tried to turn somebody away. In fact, the disciples, now, this is amazing to me. When I began to think about it this week, these were the 12 men that Jesus had called to be his closest, right? These were the 12 he sent out with the gospel preaching in cities and towns. He gave them power to do miracles. These men should have been the closest men to God there was. And I believe they were for the most part. But these men were very good at running people off from church. Amen. Matthew chapter number 15. The Bible says that Jesus and his disciples go up into a mountain place and they're going to rest. They're going to take some time off, some vacation time. And when they get up in that mountain place, they just get kicked back. They're just starting to relax. The Bible says a multitude starts coming. And Jesus sees the multitude and he's going to have to minister to them. And he ministers to them. And Jesus makes a realization they're hungry. They can't go away hungry. And he asked the disciples, he said, boys, how are we going to feed all these? And you know what they said? They said, well, Jesus, wouldn't it be a good idea just tell them to leave? Chapter 14, verse 15, read it for yourself. Wouldn't it be a good time just to run them off? Amen. That's what they said. They'll look just as good going as they do coming, Jesus. Tell them to scram. Tried to run them off. Oh, that wasn't the only time they did it. The Bible says in Matthew chapter 15, the very next chapter, there's a woman, she's a Canaanite woman. And she comes to Jesus, Brother David, because she's got a daughter that's demon-possessed. And she starts praying, Jesus, oh, would you please help my daughter? You know the story, Jesus doesn't answer a word, and she just keeps begging after him. She keeps praying after him. And in verse number 12, this is the decision the disciples come up to. Jesus, let us send the woman away. She is troubling you. She is a bother to us. Can we send her away, please? Amen. That's exactly right. Luke chapter number 9, verse number 50. They just got through preaching, and the folk in congregation didn't quite receive the message like they thought they should receive it. Them two sons of thunder, James and John, come up with a brilliant idea, Brother Scott. And this is it. They said, Elijah called fire down from heaven. What if we call fire down from heaven and just destroy? And therefore, it is no surprise that when it come time for the little children to be ministered to, they said a good idea is if we just send the whole lot of them away. Boy, I'm going to be honest with you. Too often we're just like these children. Or like these disciples' attitude toward these children. We are so busy with living life that we forget to slow down. We are so busy living life, we forget to enjoy life. Isn't that right? But this also happens in our churches. So many times it is easy to get the mindset that we've got to do this, and we've got to accomplish that, and we've got to start preparing for the next thing. And I promise you that something like VBS rolls around in the summer and somebody thinks, man, that's a waste of time. That's a waste of time. That's a waste of time. We ain't never got nothing done from that. Them people can't give. They're just kids. They ain't going to join the church. Ain't nothing good going to come up. The reality is that we, if we have that attitude, just like the disciples did, we are not right. And we need to learn some patience and take time out of our busy schedules to help those children. Amen. Over the last several weeks, the Lord has really been moving in my heart about the youth of our church. make a confession to you. And I'm going to just be honest for a minute. I've been so busy, me, been so busy in this church and working a full-time job and trying to be a dad and trying to be a husband and doing all these things that I've got to do, that I've oftentimes thought about this youth group that we've got here, and I've said, I'm going to plan something for them. And then Brother Wally, a month rolls around, and I've not planned anything. And I'll say, I've got to do that. I've got to get something together. And then a month rolls around, and I've still not planned anything, and it's been 2 months. And God lately has been saying, you know what? Maybe you need to slow down and focus on some important things, like these kids and the congregation. Amen. You say, oh, Brother Josh, why are we doing this? We had a youth outing for them. We took them somewhere not too long ago, and we took them bowling, and now we're going to have VBS, and then in a couple weeks we're going to have a youth pool party. Why are we doing all that all of a sudden? Because God's trying to teach me some patience. Amen? That's right. And by the way, just a for volunteers for VBS, if you want to learn patience, come next week and help you learn patience. Amen. Come on down. We'll put you to work. I thought about this. I like it. See, I'm getting some support from them now. I thought about this. Let's do a little something here. Jackson, how old are you, buddy? You're 10? Where's Haven? How old's Haven? 8. Okay. 10 and 8. How Bailey? 8. Okay. All right. Peyton was here this morning. She's about that age. Abby, how old are you? 6. Okay. Let's take the youngest one. We've got Candace. She's a little younger. But let's take the youngest one. We've got 6. We've got 8. We've got 10. Let's step from where we are right now. Let's step maybe 10, 15 years down the road. Okay? Let's do that. We step years down the road. Now, Jackson, you're 20, right? 10 years from now? You know what might happen at 20? I don't recommend this, but you might already have a family at 20. Is that not right? 10 years from now. Haven's 18. Eric, don't let her start dating in 10 years, but let's say 15 years from now, maybe she's got a family, Abby's starting a family, Bailey's got a family. Watch what just happened, Brother Wally. Let's at least married, okay? So that's 1, 2, 3, 4. We're adding to the congregation right now. Now there's 4 of them. Mallory and Caroline, they're married. There's 5, 6. Let's say they all have 1 child. Now we've just added 12 to our congregation. Amen. Maybe they've got 2. We've added 18. Amen? Isn't that right? And it won't be long before we can start saying some of these others, Mackenzie and Abby and Lucy and Jackson, and they're going to have families. I guess what I'm getting at is this. If we don't have the patience to minister to them today, oh, they can't, you know, they're not going to tithe tomorrow. But in a few years, they'll tithe. And in a few years, if we minister to them and they get saved and they fall in love with Jesus and they fall in love with this church because we've ministered to them here, our attendance just went up by 50%. I don't know if you're doing math, just up 50% just like that because we took time for them today. So why would Jesus do this? Well, number one, they needed to learn patience. Number two, they needed a lesson on perspective. They needed a lesson on perspective. Jesus says in verse 14, but when Jesus saw it, he was much displeased and said unto them, suffer the little children to come in not, for of such is the kingdom of God. Verily I say unto you that whosoever will not receive the kingdom of God as a little child, he shall not enter therein. The disciples thought that the children running to Jesus on Jesus, maybe grabbing Jesus, was not the proper behavior to have. They thought if the children were going to be around the Lord, then they needed to start acting more like the adults were acting. But what they did not expect is for Jesus to look at them and say just the opposite. Jesus said, instead of the children starting to behave like the adults, some of you adults need to start acting like the children. Amen. Is that not what he said? I thought about this. Why would Jesus tell them to act like children? Well, you know, children are humble. Have you ever realized that? Children are humble, and they're humble in their dependence on others. Children accept their position in life. Now, there's always an exception to this. There's always a not-so-great child. But for the most part, children realize that they're not the mom, they're not the dad, they are not in charge. And for the most part, they're just happy with life the way it is. They're just happy, you know. You just give them a stick and they're happy, you know. They're just tickled to death with their lot in life. I'm talking about children. For the most part, they are. Did you realize children live by faith? Do you realize that? You ever sit down with a child and try to get them to explain to you how something works? They've made TV shows about that. You sit a little kid down and try to get them to explain to you how something works. They don't know. They just know it works. And that's good enough for them. That's enough. How does the world work? I don't know. How's this going to work out? I don't know. It'll just work out. You know, there are a lot of things that we come to the Lord with that we don't understand in our own lives. And I wonder sometimes if Jesus doesn't just look at us and say, "What? You don't have to know how it's all going to work out. Just know." Amen. Man, can't explain to you how a God can step out in the middle of eternity and say, "Let there be light." And there's light. I can't explain that. I can't explain how a 90-year-old woman and a 100-year-old man can have a baby. I don't know. I don't know all the genetics. I can't explain that, but I know they did. Amen. Because God said they did. I can't explain to you why God would love man so much that he would give his son to die on a cross for a bunch of worthless, no good people like you and me. But I'm glad he did. Amen. I'm glad he did. You know, children not only have faith that just things will work out, they have faith that somebody's going to take care of them. I promise you, if you ask Candace how they're going to have groceries at their house next week, Brother Travis, she don't know. She just knows Daddy will take care of it. Ain't that right? She don't know how the lights get turned on and off, and the electricity bill, and the utility bill, and the car payment. She don't know all that. She just knows Dad takes care of it. She don't ever think about, whether they're going to be able to eat tomorrow or not. Just knows Dad will take care of it. And boy, so many times we wring our hands and we sit up late nights and we worry and we fuss and we cry. And Jesus is saying, "I wish you'd become like a little child." No, did he not say Matthew chapter number 6? "Take no thought for the morrow will take thought for the things of itself." Did he not say that? He said, "If I clothe the grass of the field, will I not clothe you? If I fed the sparrows, will I not feed you? Are you not much greater than these?" You see, what Jesus wants is to learn some perspective. And this perspective says, Dad will take care of it. I read a story about a farming community that hadn't had much rain in a long time. Things were getting pretty desperate. And so in this community, the ministers decided they were going to call a prayer meeting. And they told everybody in the town that they wanted them to come together for this prayer meeting, and they wanted them to bring all their religious symbols with them. The whole town shows up for prayer meeting. People brought crosses and people brought Bibles. The Catholics brought their rosaries. And they all stand there in the middle of the town and they begin to cry out to God for rain. And nothing happened. The next day, though, in the town square, a little boy shows up, and he stands in the middle of the town square by his Oh, God, we need rain. God, show us power. Send us rain. The day before, all the preachers had brought all their religious symbols and prayed all their prayers and no rain. The little boy shows up this day by himself in the town square. And as he's praying, the story says the sky gets dark. As he's praying, rumbling starts to occur. As he's praying, showers hit, and all of a sudden it starts pouring down rain. What was it the little boy did that nobody else did the day before? The preachers had prayed. They'd brought all their religious symbols. Nothing happened. But when this boy showed up and prayed, something happened. It started raining. The story says some people bought Bibles, and some people bought crosses, and some people bought rosaries. But this little boy, when he come to pray for rain, he brought an umbrella. Amen. You know sometimes why it doesn't rain more than it rains in our lives? We don't have our umbrellas ready. We're not expecting it. They needed to learn some perspective. They needed a lesson on patience. I'm done with this. They needed to see love pictured. They needed to see love pictured. Verse 16, he took them up in his arms and put his hands upon them and blessed them. Notice what verse 16 says. The scriptures tell us that Jesus took them up into his arms and blessed them. Now, you might be able to find it. I could be wrong here. But I can't recall another instance in the entire Word of God when Jesus took somebody up into his arms like he did in verse number 16. In this act of love, Jesus shows us a love that you and I are to mimic. Jesus loved the little children, and we should in turn love the little children. Next week we'll volunteer our time, and we'll decorate the church, and we'll spend money on crafts and games and all these things. And we'll do it all because Jesus displayed a love and a willingness to take time for children. Therefore, you and I should be willing to display love and take time for those that Jesus also had time for. See what I'd like to do. We're going to finish this service just a little different than we do. Usually I give a time of invitation and I ask you to come down if you need prayer. But tonight I wish everybody would come. I wish everybody would come and we'd just gather in these altars and just pray for next week. Pray that God will give us the words to minister to these kids, the heart to minister to these kids. And who knows, maybe we ought to bring our umbrellas down here to the altar. Pray, God, wish you'd save one of these kids. Amen. Let's join together and let's just pray and then we'll be dismissed after that.